This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I work with entrepreneurs and go-getters to optimize the health and performance of these world-changing innovators, people kind of like you. Before we jump into today's podcast, I want to thank our sponsor, Legacy. Legacy is an online membership community that provides monthly accountability coaching with a personal health coach and access to lifestyle products at discounts not available to the general public. The neuroscience that connects the benefits of being accountable to another human being and our capacity to stick to goals and commitments is profound. We are sculpted by our commitment and discipline to our daily decisions. Legacy helps that happen. Legacy memberships start at just $22 per month. To learn more, visit legacymemberships.com. Today, I sat down with Jen Oliver. Jen is the founder of LoveFitMama.com. She educates, inspires, and transforms busy moms into loving fit mamas by restoring their core, igniting their passion, and designing their ideal reality. And what she's most passionate about is empowering people to love their bodies and love their lives. Jen, as you will soon realize, may just be one of the most positive people you will ever encounter. She and I actually played basketball together back in high school, and I can tell you she is the same person now as she was back then. Her passion for her community of health-seeking moms is rivaled only by her genuine zest for life and adventure. We touched on mindfulness, bedtime routines, and the logistics of packing up your life and traveling around the world for fun with a 2- and 4-year-old in tow. This episode truly is a rule book for living the good life. Jen Oliver, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hello, Meg. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you here as well. As I pointed out in your introduction, we have known each other for such a long time, and I would never have guessed playing basketball with you back in high school that we would end up right here like this.
Isn't that crazy? It's almost 20 years ago.
Well, we'll wind back and we'll change that part. So, I mean, your journey has been so great. And the thing that I love about it, I'm going to ask you to sort of give people a bit of a background in terms of where you've come from and how you've got to where you are now with your business, Love Fit Mama. But your spirit and your energy, it has been unwavering through your life. Like, you've just had this positive energy, and what you see is what you get, and it's absolutely incredible. So I'm not surprised you've ended up at a place where you're helping so many people. But tell us your journey. How did you get to the place that you are and built the community that you've built?
Thank you, Meg. Well, the first thing that definitely I realized very young was that I loved helping people, and I loved chatting with people, and I loved making people feel better about themselves. And that was very, very early on when I realized that I wanted to do something where I could help people, but I actually had no idea what I wanted to do. And I had friends and I had family members who were like, you should do this, or you'd be great at this, or why don't you do this? So I just had no idea. And I started on my university experience, I guess, starting out in sciences, and I was taking maths and sciences until it led me to psychology, which was my absolute favorite course in first year. And I loved it so much, I switched into psych. And then a year and a half later, I switched into kinesiology. So I started to realize that I love this connection between the mind and the body really early on in my early 20s. And it was about that psychology and that movement, because I was so into sports and I loved that adrenaline rush of working out. And I think it was just a combo of following the things that I loved that kept leading me down that road to just continue following my passions. And I literally finished university at Queen's at 24 with 2 degrees, one in kin, one in psych, and I still had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. So that was the first thing that was like, okay, red flag, Jen, what are you going to do? So that was what led me to the fitness industry, because I thought, you know what, above all, I love helping people. I love fitness. I love athletics. I love training. So I had done my training certification, personal training in university when I was younger, because I was doing a lot of training of athletes and sports teams. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll just go get a job as a personal trainer at Good Life Fitness when I moved to a completely new city. So I thought, why not? And then I ended up getting hired on as the GM of the club, and a whole new life was born. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I had so much fun because I learned so much on the job, and I got to talk to people all day long about fitness and fun and how they were feeling. And that's really where it began, honestly, Meg, because I realized that in that environment where people were coming into the gym to improve themselves in some way, whether it was mentally, physically, emotionally, or community-minded, just to get out of the house and do something for themselves, I realized that was a place where I really thrived. Was encouraging people and inspiring people to come in and motivating people. And that was sort of what really kind of led me on that path.
And so what role did becoming a mother have in terms of furthering that for you? Because I know for so many people that was transformational for them. Was that what sort of took you to that next step in terms of your career?
Well, to be honest, when I was working at Good Life as the manager, I was at a 24-hour club, and that meant you could pretty much be working 24 hours a day. So I didn't really do a whole lot else. I was in my mid-20s, and I thought, this is great. I love this, and I could be there all the time. But truly, I did want to be a mom so bad. It was like, I didn't know what job I was going to do in life, but I knew I wanted to be a mom. That was my number one thing growing up. I always wanted to be a mom. So I knew that that was the direction I was headed. And if I stayed in that job and moved up in that company, it was going to leave me no time to be a mom. And I believed that being a mom included having time to spend with your kids. So that was really where I started to tune into what I wanted and say, okay, if this is what I want for myself in the future, how can I start to act on those things now, planning ahead? So that's when I decided to leave Good Life. I went back to school to do a master's degree in exercise and health psychology, which was a blend of all my favorite things. So it was great. And it took me on this journey where I just fell in love with learning about all aspects of creating and maintaining healthy habits over time. So I delved deep into it through my studies, but then soon thereafter, I got engaged, got married, and we decided to have kids at that point. And at that point, I really didn't know what I wanted to do still. I was graduated, I had all these degrees, and I was like, what am I going to do to help people? And it was only just the beginning of, you know, the internet and online and connecting with people across the globe. And I just had a real calling to that, but I truly had no idea how I was going to get there. So I thought, you know what, one thing I'm sure of is that I want to be a mom and everything else will work itself out. And so that's what I did. I decided it's mom time. And so that was a really, really exciting step for us. My husband and I, as a family, we really were excited to have kids. And I think because I was so ready and I had wanted it all my life, that it was really quite a seamless transition into my life. We were so excited. We were so prepared mentally, emotionally, physically. I did a ton of mindfulness practices up to that point. When I was pregnant with my first, I went on a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat, which was silent meditation, no talking, no eye contact, no reading, no writing for 10 days. This was bliss to me. And as much as I love talking,
I can imagine you not talking for 10 days.
Yeah, right? People are going, what the heck? But it was truly one of the most amazing experiences in my life. So I think creating that experience through my pregnancy, even of just mindfulness, I think helped me really just be present for that. And instead of worrying, like it was easy to do, I just really enjoyed the experience. I was just really fully present in it. And I was starting to work with clients while I was pregnant, but it really wasn't a main priority. Honestly, my pregnancy was a priority for me, and just being there, just being in it, just taking care of myself. And that was really where I think I first started to go, yeah, this self-care thing is pretty cool. Because before that, as an athlete especially, it's like, no pain, no gain. Let's just go hard, you know? And who cares if your body's hurting? Just push. It was only when I became pregnant that I was like, wow, okay, I got to tune into this body and what's it telling me and what do I have to do for it? And I think that was kind of the game changer because I was very much externally sort of focused before that. And then once I became pregnant, it was all about my baby and focusing inwards. And that's where I really started to have these intense breakthroughs in my own life.
Right. And you know, you have this quote on your website that says, when you love the body you have the body you love. Have you always felt that way? Or was that part of this transition and that mindfulness and all of the things that you brought to the table around that?
It was definitely part of the journey that I was on. It was definitely part of the growth that I was in, because before that, it was really about what were my coaches telling me to do? What was, you know, what was the program I was on? Up until then, I had done, you know, just every kind of training, I had done fitness modeling competition. And that was one of the things that really woke me up to going, nope, this is not what I'm about. This doesn't feel good to me. It's not about the physical appearance to me. It was really about how it made me feel. And so I started to delve deeper into what that was about, because the fitness industry is so very focused on the appearance and what do you look like? And I think I took a lot of that on as a part of what I needed to do was look a certain part as a trainer and as a fitness professional. However, I really realized that the more I worked with people and identified what was actually holding them back from achieving their goals or getting to the results that they wanted, was their own perception of their own bodies. And so that's what really kind of opened up my eyes. For me, I think because we're socialized as women, right, to go and critique everybody else and in addition to that, ourselves, right? So that's just how should we look? What are people looking at? Am I this? Should I suck in my belly? It's all these things. And I think as an athlete, I was very fortunate to be able to appreciate what my body did for me and how I used it as opposed to just how it looked, because I used it for athletics. And then once I became pregnant, I was like, holy crap, I grew a human inside my body. Like that was the most miraculous thing that ever could possibly have happened. So it really just tuned me in and it kind of dialed me into what was really going on. And it just begged me to dig deeper. I couldn't not dig deeper every day as I went through this journey, as I continued to work with moms who were going through that same journey.
Yeah. And it's interesting because like, as you're speaking, you're talking about this sense of gratitude for mm-hmm. your body. And I think that, and I know you've had a journey with that and we can talk about that as well. But I think for some people, they can't get there. Like their body their body has betrayed them. It doesn't look the way yes. they want it to look, or it doesn't work the way they want it to work. They've got an autoimmune condition or they've had something else that's going on. And I know you've worked with these women, but also these men, these individuals. Like what's the conversation that you have with them when they feel betrayed by their physical body?
That is a great question. And honestly, it is a very poignant topic because I do discuss this with honestly, almost 100% of people that I talk to. And it really is about differentiating how much control you want over a situation. And I think, I don't know if it's you too working with, you know, the entrepreneur community, but I know moms, it is unbelievable how much control we want to have as moms. And you know, having three girls yourself.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? It's like there is no controlling the situation. We can't control when they eat, when they sleep, what they do. And we try so hard with our bodies to control them. And so we look up the best diet or we look up the best exercise program and oh, so-and-so looks like this and she's doing this, so I must try this. And it's this intense need for control that is actually where the breakdown occurs. So what the conversation I have with my clients and with the fit mamas that I'm talking to is really about this idea of surrender and letting go and just not trying to control so much and allowing the flow of life's events and your own body's natural biorhythms to take over and to lead, because we just so have this desire to want things to be our way. And that's really where the mindfulness piece comes in. to the work I do with Fit Mama is around, you know, letting go of that ego piece, that part of you, that voice inside your head that wants to control absolutely every piece of every minute of every day.
Yeah, it's so key. I actually just walked out of an appointment and we had this really great conversation. At the end of the day, we both realized like the biggest challenge for this individual is they can't get out of their head. So yes. their body then somatizes, meaning you've got these thoughts and then it turns into something physical. But totally. You know, I feel like we kind of need getting out of your head 101. Where do you start with people? Like what is like, because I know, and I've said this in having a few conversations before, people are scared of the term mindfulness or heaven forbid you say meditation.
I know.
There's just this cringe. Yeah. Maybe not this population. Everyone's so evolved. Yes. But, you know, like some days it makes me cringe. So like how do you start that? What's your baby step into mindfulness?
You know, the first step is really that awareness. And it's until a person can identify that that is a limiting factor for them, that they are able to move past it. And so many people will say, you know, I will talk about the idea of being all or nothing or very black and white. And this is very common in sort of the dieting industry. It's like you're on the diet or you're not on the diet, you know, or you're being good, quote unquote, which is a word I don't allow people to use in my presence with regards to food or how they're being, because how you eat and how you act in your life does not connotate whether you're good or bad. And it's this languaging around it that I think has really become part of our culture. And it's become so normalized that we don't even realize that this sort of almost self-degradation involves our everyday conversations, right? We'll say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, friend. Oh my God, I'm looking awful. Oh, I gained weight. Oh my gosh, I haven't been working out. I've been so bad. I've been rebellious. I've been lazy. And we start to attach all these words and meanings to ourselves as humans that really don't belong and they have no place whatsoever. So that's really the first thing that I truly do work with people on is pointing out to them, you know, when you're saying, you know, I was good today, that actually you're demeaning yourself in a way that you're telling yourself that you're bad if you didn't have your apple this morning and you instead chose, you know, a pancake or something, right? And it's just that deep understanding for them that they didn't even realize they were doing it. And so once they can become aware, then we can start to go, okay, now what is it that we can do about it, right?
Right. It always starts with that awareness. And, you know, I feel like not only do you bring this conversation to the table, but you legitimately, you walk the talk in terms of your brand and your why and who you are. And so, you know, given that conversation, given the not good, the not bad, what metrics do you use to define success? Like when you go to bed at night and you're like, this was an awesome day, which I'm sure you say every night, right? What metrics are you using? Like, how do you define your happiness?
Honestly, it's really truly about whether I feel good. And I am so kind of connected to myself in that way where I do take time throughout the day to check in. I'm very connected physiologically. So I can see, oh my God, my heart's racing. Am I rushing somewhere? Do I need to be somewhere? You know, and it's that tuning into the body. And that's the one thing that I'm really working on with the Fit Mamas right now is that tuning in process. Because if we don't tune in, we aren't connected to ourselves and we can't heed the messages that are coming through that our body's trying to talk to us with, right? And so I think we're so always speeding up through life and trying to do all these externally, you know, important things that we don't take that time to really just tune in. And so for me, it's about, okay, am I feeling good? When I wake up in the morning, I mean, there's days when I wake up with a pit in my stomach and I go, oh my gosh, okay, what is that? So I try and decipher, what is that feeling? Am I feeling, okay, I'm feeling I have an overwhelmed day ahead because I planned too many things or I overscheduled myself, or, you know, it could be a worry about my kids. Are they, you know, are they okay or whatever that is. But it's just about that tuning in. And if I'm feeling good from moment to moment and day to day, I'm like, okay, I've got this. No problem. I'm on it. And that shows in the external environment, right? I mean, you're so funny. You joke about it. I was like, oh my God, you're always happy. And people kind of are like, oh my God, are you always this way? And you know, my hubby may say, okay, well, you know, she has her moments, but truly it's I'm very good at doing those kind of checks and balances where, okay, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling myself right now. What is it that I need? And I think so often we look external to ourselves, right? What should I be doing? What could I be doing right now? Am I doing good enough? Or is that my da, 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 da? And we go down that tailspin of out of control. I have no control. And when we can tune it back into ourselves, that's where we go, oh, we have this wisdom within us that actually loves to have a conversation with us that's very feeling based and not so mind and mental thought based.
Right. And when you're dealing with high performers, I find that there's a challenge. There's like this desperate want to use mm-hmm. the feeling thing as a metric, but then mm-hmm. there's this pulling back of like, nope, I've got to perform. I've got to push through. I've got to do all of these. I have all these things I have to do and all of these expectations that I mm-hmm. have to meet. And I find that's particularly challenging in this population.
Yes. You know what? I will agree with that because the fit moms I work with, especially my private clients, I mean, these are high performers. These are CEOs. These are people at the top of their game, exactly where they have worked all their life to be. And they're needing that unique and different perspective on things that they're lacking and that keeps them in that place of feeling, whether it's anxiety or dissatisfaction with their body or dissatisfaction with some aspect of their life. So they may be very successful and driven in their career or in certain areas of their life, but when it comes to their personal physiology or physical body or even mental emotional state, they just are very scared to connect. It's actually a fear that people have that I've noticed recently where people are they actually do those things and feel those shoulds and coulds and pressures of external people and the environment because they have a fear of tuning in. What if I'm actually weak? What if I can't do this? What if I don't do these things and I let people down, right? But at the end of the day, if you're not taking care of yourself and you're not tuning inwards to what you need, you're absolutely 100%, I guarantee you, going to let people down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's interesting, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, you know, as a parent and you've mm-hmm. got those people around you, like short of living your truth, you're letting people down because you're setting mm-hmm. you're setting a different example.
Exactly. Exactly.
So in pursuit of this mission that you are on and that you are living on a daily basis, in terms of your business, is the model that you work with in terms of Fit Mama and working on your own and being online, is that the model you need to deliver what it is that you're doing? Or is this a model you created for yourself so that you can live your authentic life? Or is it a bit of both?
I would say it's definitely a bit of both. I mean, I truly knew, and I used to say this even after I graduated from my master's, I was still kind of seeking and learning and understanding how and where what I wanted to do fit in, because I just wasn't willing to give up that feeling of feeling good. And when I was in a job in that, you know, corporate environment of Good Life Fitness and as a manager and having to answer to the higher ups, and it was all about sales and it was all about numbers, I just couldn't help but feel that feeling where I wasn't able to truly help the people that I was on this planet to help. And I think I used to say all the time, my job hasn't been invented yet. And I knew as my friends were going off and being doctors and lawyers and incredible, you know, amazing entrepreneurs in this world, I just couldn't figure out what it is that I could do to create that, not only lifestyle, but to create that way that I could help. And I used to sit in my meditations, and I remember very, very clearly one meditation that I sat in, and I had my arms up above my head, just wide open. I looking up to the sky, just not even knowing what I was doing. I just said out loud over and over, how may I serve? How may I serve? Because I had so much passion, I had so much love, and I had so much knowledge and education and experience. And I just truly did not know how to actually get that out there until I started exploring how that online space worked, how I could connect with my ideal clients across the planet and truly affect change for them, and then live that freedom lifestyle that I truly knew I needed and wanted to be me.
I love it. So in raising your family and running your business, do you feel like the term mompreneur applies to you or describes you?
You know what? I actually truly feel honored that I'm truly blessed, and every day I'm so grateful that I am able to be called mom. Every single time my girls say it, I mean, there's always those times it's like, mom, I'm like, okay, what's the other thing, right? But for 100% almost of the time, I am like, oh my gosh, someone is calling me mom. I feel super duper grateful because this is what I truly dreamed of all my life. And being an entrepreneur, I know it was in my blood. My siblings are entrepreneurs. My parents are entrepreneurs. It's just, I think, in our blood. And to be called, a mompreneur is truly an honor. I really believe that I feel blessed to be able to have this feeling like I am living a retirement lifestyle. Like, I feel like I'm almost grandma to my kids with a job.
Right?
It's honestly, I'm like, I can go where I want, do what I want, anytime, go wherever. And I can be with my kids. I can have that work-life balance that I truly desire, because it's up to me to decide what, like you said, what my metrics are, right? So that freedom to me, I knew very early on that my number one value was freedom. And I know you are a fan also of Gretchen Rubin and her four tendencies, you know, those four tendencies from the Better Than Before book. And I truly am a rebel. I filled out that thing going, yep, 100%, I'm a rebel. This is me. And I just think that that's sort of a huge part of being I'm an entrepreneur, right? Which is something where you're juggling two full-time jobs, not to mention a life of some sort that you can fit in. So it truly is almost that, you know, that next step that if you were really, you know, you really were kind of, you had to be kind of crazy to want to do it. And I truly feel that that's the blessing to be that. And I don't see it as a negative. So yeah, not at all.
I love that. I love that explanation. And, you know, you talk about this concept of freedom, and I think you did this incredible trip 2 years ago where you traveled around the world. Like, when you say you have the freedom to go and do things and live this ideal retirement life, she's not joking. Like, you literally sold your house and grabbed your kids and your husband went on sabbatical and you guys literally went around the world. Like, how did you, how did you find the courage to do that? And like, what are the logistics? Because I know there's people out there going, oh my gosh, that's my dream. And it's going to stay a dream for so many people, but you made it happen. So like, where did you find the psychology to take that step? And then what were the logistics around bringing two young kids around the world and having this awesome adventure?
Oh, it was so much fun. Yes, we were very, very, very fortunate to be able to take our 2 and 4 year old at the time on a trip around the world. We left for 6 months from our city in Windsor. And yes, my husband took a sabbatical from his job. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of this was his dream, his desire to live differently. We both have those same sort of freedom desires, and we are very, very out of the box thinkers, and we like to do things differently. And like I said about that rebel status of mine, you know, my husband's very much a rebel as well. And I think for us, we've always known that we're different and we like to live differently. And we love, love, love traveling. I mean, we live in a city where none of our family lives. The closest family is 3-4 hours away, and we have to drive, fly, you know, go everywhere all the time. So I've always lived a very sort of nomadic existence. I mean, I went to 3 high schools alone. I moved all that time growing up.
I hear you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's like, it was one of those things that I think was in my blood to be able to travel. And because I'm kind of laid back, it's like, okay, yeah, everybody's worried about nap times and having to be home for their kids. And I'm like, pack them up, let's go, ship them out. And I'm like, after I got started, I was kind of like, what did we get ourselves up to? But to be honest, our kids have, I mean, they were 2 and 4 when we did it. And they're, you know, they're turning 6 and 4 this year. They're only 5 and 3 now. It was only about a year and a bit ago. And to be honest, it was really about just letting go and, again, surrendering to what may be. We knew it was going to be an adventure. We knew it was going to be, you know, all kinds of crazy. My husband, God bless him, he loves planning and organizing. So he really compliments me in that way, because this is not my forte. And he just had a blast. Like, this was his favorite thing, to look up hotels and find places, create excursions and book trips. I mean, I truly packed my bag and he packed his and the girls and we left. I didn't know where we were going, when we were going to get there. I didn't know anything until literally when we were going. That's how we were doing it. And I was so, so grateful to him to be able to have that courage to do that, because he left a job for a year that he loves and he'd been doing for over 20 years at that point. So for him to all of a sudden just, you know, give up a whole year of his job was a really big step. So it was a really fun kind of just embrace what is and this opportunity while we have our kids before they're even in school to just kick up our feet and go on an adventure. So I highly recommend it.
It's amazing too, because you're living your values, right? And mm-hmm. I talk about this a lot with kids, where it's not what you say, and it's not necessarily talking to them about the dream of traveling around the world. You did it with them, mm-hmm. right? And you, mm-hmm. when you tell people, you've just got to let go of that control. You let go of that control. Good mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because people said to us when we were going to do it, they're like, "Oh, that seems weird. Like, they're really young; they won't remember it." And Chris and I were kind of like, won't remember it. First of all, I don't know if any kid our age even has nearly half the pictures that we have of our own kids and videos of things they're doing. So memories can be replanted into their brain. But besides that alone, just the changes that we've seen in them and their personalities and their ability to go with the flow and be very open to different environments and change. And for me, as I said, growing up, I was always in those different environments. And I truly believe that being adaptable to change is one of the best things that you can teach your kids.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to teach kids resilience. So and we mm-hmm. talk about this all the time. Both my husband and I came from divorced families. We're like, well, how do you teach your kids resilience without, you know, getting divorced and having trauma? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a really good example. We say that in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way. But, you know, you make the best of your situation. And this is such a great example. Because kids, they may not have physical memories of all these things. And like you said, the pictures are there. But you have cellular memories mm-hmm. of all of these things, too.
Exactly. And it's hilarious them telling, because people will ask them, where was your favorite place? And they'll be like, oh, I loved Maui, or I loved Hong Kong. And it's so funny because, like, you know, they just whip out these things and people are going, oh, wow, cool. Why? And they'll explain. It's just so fun to listen to them because they truly do remember things.
That's amazing.
And it's fun. Yeah, it is really fun. So yeah.
And you guys are such an active family. It's so much of who you are and who your husband is. How do you integrate that value into your parenting?
You know what? I think it's, again, like you said, just living it and doing it. I mean, my husband, Chris, is the basketball coach at the University of Windsor. So he's at practice every day. He has games every weekend. So we bring the girls around and they're active, jumping around, running around the track, doing physical things that just integrate into our life. We're very active in terms of taking them out, taking them to the park, doing fun things. I mean, it's funny because Chris, being a, you know, Canadian level basketball coach, sports coach, and having been in that competitive environment all his life of organized sport, both of us really have this true belief that kids are starting active sports in that controlled manner too young. And we haven't really honestly put our kids in that many sports because, one, they just haven't taken to it. Like, we've tried a couple things. We're like, hey, soccer would be fun. We throw them out there. And they just don't thrive in that environment, which to us has been like, you know, it kind of gets us into that place where we go, oh, what are we doing wrong? Why is everybody else's kids out here loving it? And here we are, athletic, loving parents, and our kids are freaking out and want to cry on the sidelines. They don't want to run around soccer. And at first it was very confronting and it was very like, oh, what am I doing wrong? And it was very kind of mentally, emotionally frustrating for us. Actually, we just started to say, you know what? They're young. And I looked back and I said, I didn't even start sports. I mean, I played varsity basketball for 5 years at Queens, and I did not even start playing basketball until maybe I was in grade 8 or 9. So 13, 14 years old. And here I'm worrying about my 4-year-old not liking soccer practice. I'm like, okay, Jen, put things in perspective here.
Well, yeah. And there's just so much pressure, right? It's back to that pressure and the control and all of those pieces. There just seems to be a common theme here.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
What can each of us do starting today to just make the world a better place? because I feel like this is part of your mission. You are always talking to your community. You are always encouraging them to take positive action in their life. What is just one thing people can just start today to make a difference?
I would have to say just taking time each day, even if it's for just 5 minutes, and tuning in to yourself, tuning into that little voice, because we have the big voice and we love to tune into that all day, right? He said, she said, what did I do? I'm not good enough. I'm too this, I'm that, I'm that. And it's about that little voice inside that is your heart, that is the truth inside you that loves to get buried down and beaten down by everyone around you that you allow to sort of put their things on you. And I know I did that for so long. I mean, I come from a very high achieving family, you know, get good marks, get your university degrees, you know, go be a doctor, which I was pushing to right up until the end of my university. I was almost 25 and I was still pushing to be a doctor until I fainted 3 times at the sight of blood. And I was like, seriously, Jen, this is not the way you need to go, right? And it was the best thing for me, but I was so used to pushing and tuning in to the outside world. So I truly believe that tuning in to your internal world is where the magic happens. And the minute you can connect with your truth and your heart and your loving sense of duty to yourself and to spread love in this world, will you be able to just be and to allow your light to shine? Because I think that's what really ends up happening as we go through life, is that we just get, you know, caked on with crap that people throw at us, right? They're having a bad day. They throw it on us. We take it personally. We go, oh my gosh, what was it? Did I say something wrong? Did I do this? Should I have done this? And it sends us down that spiral where we feel like crap and our self-worth just diminishes. And that is not where we are ready to take on the world. That's not where we're ready to help others. That's where we're sitting in woe is me world and feeling sorry for ourselves. And that's not what the world needs. The world needs your light. The world needs your beauty that is shining inside you, but possibly and just most likely caked on by a whole lot of crap that's happened in your life that you're making mean something that it's not.
I love you.
Ditto, baby. I love you back.
I think if people were listening to this, they're like, who is this woman? She is so positive. They'd be like, she can't be like this all the time. And I'm going to assure you, she is like this all the time. She just radiates it. And it's amazing. It's such a pleasure to be around you. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. This month, we are talking about stress and adrenal fatigue. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. I have more questions for you, and I call these the key performance indicators. So, you know, as business owners, we do always have these key performance indicators that we look at that tell us how we're doing. And I think that we have probably the same things in life. We just don't categorize mm-hmm. them that way. So mm-hmm. these are all related to, like, you know, some key little things that people do in their life. And, you know, part of it is understanding the answer and the details, but I also kind of like to pull it apart and understand, you know, why you do the things that you do, the thinking behind mm-hmm. them as well. So the first question I have for you in terms of our key performance indicators related to life is, what is your morning routine?
Ooh, pulling out the big guns. I love my morning routine. Okay. So I schedule out every morning 5 to 7 a.m. That is my time because my kids love them. Luckily for me, they are great sleepers and they will sleep in till 7:30, 8 o'clock. We usually have to wake them up and they'll go to bed around usually 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that we really are blessed in that way. So that allows me to be able to go to bed at a reasonable time. For me, it's around 9:30 to 10 that I'm like lights out. I have a diffuser with essential oils in my room and I really create a very comfortable sleeping environment so that I can get rest. Because for me, I am, like, as you can tell, high energy and I am go, go, go and just super pumped and excited. And the problem is the more people that I connect with, the more excited I get because I'm so excited for their goals and I'm so excited for the changes that are happening and I truly cannot unwind. So I do, my morning routine truly starts with the night before when I start to unwind. And I am a fan of just taking that time to breathe, having the dim lights, and really, really being that delicately disciplined. I know that word discipline sometimes can be one of those words where we think, oh, that's, you know, that's a good thing, but oh, that's so harsh. And I like to use the word delicate discipline with my clients.
Really, I like that. Like
you're doing it from that place of love, but you do need to be disciplined to get these things done. And that's just the truth of the matter. So I'm delicately disciplined with myself to draw those lines, getting to bed at a reasonable time. And I'm up at 4:45. I have myself the absolute best thing in the world, which is I call my hot room, but it's really a glorified closet. And I have a heater in there, and I have my salt, my Himalayan salt rock lamp, and I have my diffuser, and I have just a warm, loving environment with a really comfy meditation cushion and not a lot of other distractions. So I go and spend 2 hours in there every morning, and I get cold very easily. So for me, being in that warm environment, it just puts me into that place of bliss. So that morning routine, it does change from day to day because I truly am a rebel. And the minute I start to go define what I have to do from moment to moment, I just want to rebel against it. So all I do is I open it up to 5 to 7 a.m. and I'm in the dark with just my, you know, little light colored dim lights on, and I will do a variety of things. So I will do journaling, I will do meditation, I do a lot of stretching and a lot of sort of foam rolling, releasing the muscles in my body that are tight. I will do a little bit of kind of physical activity in that moment, but very mindful. It won't be like an exercise routine. It's very just mindful movement, and just kind of connecting with me. I really don't do anything in those hours except allow myself to just flow and do whatever I want to do in those moments.
It's so interesting starting to hear these commonalities between all these high performers in the morning. And the delicate discipline, I love that. I really believe that discipline paves the road to freedom. But it's sometimes wrapping, it's like mindfulness, it's just getting past the terminology.
Exactly. Or that feeling that comes back. Because I know for me, it just brings it back sometimes to feeling so harsh. Yeah. And when I was in that corporate environment, it was like, you have to make these things, you have to do these things. It's like, the minute you tell me I have to do something, I'm guaranteeing you, I ain't gonna want to do it. I want to do it my way. I want to do what I want, right? So I think it's really just about, yeah, knowing what it is for you that feels disciplined and that gets the results you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So true. What are your favorite travel snacks?
Ooh, good one. I do travel a lot. I honestly must say I am not... I used to be around, probably more in my fitness related days. I was much more like, what am I going to eat? I have to plan. I have to prep. I was always very scared early on. I think maybe when I was doing sports more, I was very in fear of being hungry. I remember when I was training for a marathon, I actually overate and gained weight during the process because I was absolutely petrified that I would be out like mile 20 and I don't know, pass out or something because I would be hungry. So I used to really have this fear of needing to eat every minute. But as I've grown and as I've kind of become more mindful and listened to my body, I do find that I don't need to eat all the time like I sort of thought I needed to, or like the fitness diet industry will tell you, eat 10 small snacks a day and blah, 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 keep your metabolism high. It's like, your metabolism's probably pretty fine if you just eat when you're hungry, okay? So that's really what I do. But I do always have, you know, things that I love to eat that are my go-tos. And I really love nuts and seeds. I love kombucha. Honestly, that's one of my favorite snacks. It's like, it's just refreshing. It's bubbly. It feels so filling and energizing. And I love the new healthier kind of snacks that are coming out, like roasted chickpeas and roasted broad beans and seaweed snacks, those kinds of things, because they give you kind of that salty flavor. And I'm a salty kind of person that you kind of want sometimes, but they don't really feel so heavy because I don't like that heavy feeling when I'm eating ever, really.
Awesome, awesome choices. Yeah. What is your hot beverage of choice and how do you prepare it?
Ooh, you know what? I'm a tea and coffee person. I truly love, I love tea. I'm probably my number one go-to tea is dandelion tea. I love the taste of it. Dandelion tea is my go-to. I will put a little lemon in it sometimes. And I like just straight black coffee. I'm not picky.
Straight black coffee. You are a rebel.
I know. I'm just going all kinds of crazy over here. I just love it. Yeah, straight up.
And besides just like getting out of bed in the morning, what do you do for fun?
Oh gosh, fun. Hang with my family, hang with my friends. I mean, I feel so grateful that I have lived in this city now for 12 years where I had never even been before that I moved. And I've made incredible friends and amazing connections in the city. And just, I truly love being social, as you know, and can imagine from listening to me chat. But I really love going out. I love heading out. I love going out for drinks. I love going out for dinners. I love going out to, you know, see people do stuff. I truly do. I have a lot of friends who their kids play sports. I'll go, oh, I want to come watch her play soccer or do this. I just find that very fun. Engaging in the community is really, really fun for me. So
amazing. And the last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we can learn it. I truly believe in 100% in neuroplasticity. And I think if we're limiting ourselves and saying that we had to be born with something or it had to come from the beginning and we can't learn it or can't create it in our life, then we're limiting ourselves in that way. So I truly believe that anything and everything is possible if you first imagine it in your mind.
You just speak your truth and I love it. People are going to want to be in touch with you. How can people find you, Jen?
Well, I am located online. The place I hang out most has got to be my Fit Mama group on Facebook. So if you search Love Fit Mama on Facebook groups, you will find our Love Fit Mama group and you can join us there where I'm sharing daily insights and ideas and motivation, inspiration. So that is my place. On Instagram, I am at @love_fitmama. And that's where I post a lot of my stuff as well. And that's where I love to hang out. I love connecting with people. I'm on Snapchat at @lovejenoliver. And my kids are into Snapchat. Are your kids into Snapchat, Meg?
They can't get enough of it.
I know. Every time they see my phone, they're like, Snapchat, Snapchat. It's just so funny, right? It's just so fun. So yeah, you can definitely find me online. And I do have a freebie. I have a freebie giveaway for your listeners, Meg.
Amazing.
So it is my, one of the first resources that I created for the Fit Mamas, which I sell on my site, but I'm giving to you guys as a gift, is my 21 Days to Love Your Body ebook, which is a 21-day activity book where you actually fill out little questions every day. And there's a few little practices that you do that actually help you tune into your own body, tune into yourself, and help you create that self-care and self-love practice that really sets the foundation for everything that, you know, you really want in your life. So that can be found at lovefitmama.com/love.
I love it. And I've looked through that book and it's so great. It's such a good resource. So
thank you.
Yeah. So all of these notes and all of the different ways that you can find Jen will all be in our show notes. And I know you're going to have lots of people on their way over to hang out with you. They're not even going to believe that someone this positive actually exists all the time. And you are going to prove it to them. Jen, it is always a pleasure to hang out with you. I can't wipe the smile off my face because that's what you do for people. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful you asked me and I'm honored to be here, Meg. Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.